The first job I ever had was also the worst job I ever had. I'm guessing I'm not alone in that. I was 15 years old or so, and I worked two evenings a week during that summer at a local restaurant. Now, the funny part is the restaurant was called the Liquor Store. It's not what you think. They didn't serve alcohol. Maybe they did, but it was kind of a lunch and dinner place, but then they also sold frozen yogurt. So it was the Liquor Store, L-I-C-K-E-R. Oh, now you... They thought it was a funny pun. They didn't stay in business very long. So anyway, I started at the bottom and never worked my way up. I got to wash dishes for 6 hours at a time. And, of course, washing dishes does not take much skill and experience. Maybe there are some very gifted dishwashers out there somewhere in the world, but... For me, it was just a job that required perseverance. I never liked that job, and as a result, I was not very good at it. If you can be a bad dishwasher, I was probably a bad dishwasher, and I would imagine that you've maybe had a similar experience with a job you didn't like very much, a job maybe you didn't feel qualified for, something you've been asked to do that didn't quite suit your skill set. Now, I hope that that is not true when you come here to church. I hope that the work that you do, the ministry that you're involved in, the ways that you engage here and participate in the church, I hope does fit who you are, that it does fit your interests and your skills and your gifting. I believe that before God calls us to serve in the church, in whatever role that might be, that He first equips us. He gives us what we need in order to be effective and fruitful in our service to the church. He gives resources and strength and wisdom, and He gives what you need so that you can find joy in what you do in the church. And so that others can look at the way you serve and say, yeah, that person is in just the right role to suit their skills. Last week we talked about how the Holy Spirit works in our lives to bring us this big word, sanctification, how the Spirit works to make us holy. And this morning we're going to talk about another vital task of the Spirit, and that is to enable us to serve the mission of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the church. The work of the Spirit was for that first generation of believers who were there in the New Testament time, a new revelation. They didn't understand. They didn't have experience with the Spirit. And so as those first believers came to faith and they suddenly had the Spirit working in their lives, they had to work through witnessing miracles and this power of the Spirit working in them. And it took a while for them to understand that the Spirit was actually alive and working inside the life of every single believer. And so Paul wrote to his friends in Corinth, a church that he helped to found and believers he helped to bring to faith. And as he wrote to them, we're going to be reading today in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he addressed a number of challenges that they faced in their early years of faith. And included in that, Paul wanted to help them understand the role of the Holy Spirit. And so he writes in chapter 12 about the gifts that the Spirit gives to believers for ministry. So this is from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of you, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now, I understand that most believers don't earn your living working at the church. But at the same time, all of us, everyone who follows Jesus, everyone who is a part of the church, all of us have been called and gifted to serve somehow and somewhere within the body of believers, within the kingdom of God, within the mission of the church. We serve through these special abilities given us by the Holy Spirit that we call spiritual gifts. And I want to spend some time this morning talking about those. Just as a job or a career, whatever that might be, a lawyer, an accountant, a dishwasher, whatever it is, just as a job requires certain skills and training, the work that we do for God's kingdom also requires skill and abilities and knowledge, and the Holy Spirit enables you to serve in the church according to those abilities that He gives us by God's wisdom and for God's purposes. Now, in my life, the Spirit enables me to teach God's Word, to care for God's people. Those are the gifts that I use as a pastor. Now, I can tell you, and I guess this is a testimony, those are not natural abilities that I was born with. These are gifts given by the Holy Spirit. When I preach and teach Scripture, it is the Spirit that carries my words into people's hearts. It's not my ability. And the Spirit does that in ways that I can't fully explain or understand. The Spirit enables me to do more than what I could do on my own. In fact, when I was a young person, I don't talk about this too much, but when I was a young person, I used to stutter. And I was quite shy. I'm still a pretty quiet person. But there is no way when I was 13, 14 years old, I ever would have thought, gee, I want to spend my professional life standing up in front of people and talking. It's the last thing I would have wanted to do. It's the last thing that I could have done at that point in my life. But God called me, and the Spirit enables me to stand in front of people and proclaim God's Word. And that gift was given for this purpose, for God's purpose. And while this may not come naturally to me, and while it may not be what I ever would have thought that I could have been good at, I have seen over the years how the Spirit can use me. And any good fruit that is produced is not to my credit. It is to the Holy Spirit's credit. It is the Spirit working in and through me. See, that is how spiritual gifts work. Now, this is not just about people who work for the church, who earn their living at the church. It is for all of us. It's for those who follow Jesus and may come to serve the church in an administrative role or behind the scenes role or maybe an upfront role or teaching or caring for people or whatever it is that God has given those gifts into your life so that you can serve in the church. And if you want to become the person that God desires you to be, if you want to live fully into that calling that God has for you, then you need to discover what your gifts are. And when you discover what those gifts are, then you need to use them. You need to find a place within the body of believers, within the church, to put those gifts to work to make a difference for the mission that God has given us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe, is the clearest explanation in all of the New Testament about what spiritual gifts are and where they come from and how we receive them and what we are to do with them. And so as we look through this passage, I want to draw some truth out of it to help us understand spiritual gifts. And let's begin with this. all spiritual gifts come from the Holy Spirit. And that should be an obvious statement. But we need to understand what that means. Paul gives us a simple test for determining, for recognizing whether it is the Spirit at work in your life or not. Or maybe it's a test for looking at someone else and is the Spirit working in that person's life or not. And it comes in verse 3. He says, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You see, it's a test he's given us. If the Spirit is at work in your life, then your words and your actions and your attitudes will declare, in whatever way God enables you, will declare Jesus as Lord. And it is the Spirit that is enabling you to do that. It is empowering you to proclaim the goodness of God and the Lordship of Jesus in your life through the gifts that the Spirit has given you. The primary work of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bring honor to Jesus Christ and to help us serve the mission that He gave us. That is why the Spirit is alive and powerful in our hearts. Now, you can also turn this truth around and say, you can't honor and serve Jesus unless the Spirit is at work in your life. This means that we can recognize the Holy Spirit in someone else's life with this simple test. Is what they're doing honoring and serving Jesus? And if it is, then praise God, the Spirit is at work in that person's life. If what they're doing is not bringing honor to Jesus, but instead is bringing honor to themselves or to some other God or to some other part of this world that is not honoring to God, then no, that is not the Holy Spirit giving them that strength. Paul goes on to say there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So the gifts for ministry in the church all come from the Holy Spirit. And then Paul lists various spiritual gifts. And what you need to understand anytime you come across a list of spiritual gifts, and there are a few of them that Paul gives us throughout his letters, but anytime you read one of these gifts, you need to understand that it is not meant to be an exhaustive list. And so you read down these verses, starting at verse 8 down through verse 10, you think, well, gee, I don't seem to have any of those gifts that Paul lists there. I guess I'm not gifted by the Spirit. Well, no, that's the point is not to give every single gift that the Spirit can possibly give, but rather to give examples of the sorts of gifts that the Spirit can give to followers of Jesus. Someone else may have a gift that you don't have, and that's good. Or you may have a gift that you look around the church and you say, well, no one else has my gift. That's good. Because you're now able to do something that other people can't do in the church. Or that person sitting across the church from you is able to do something that you can't do. And those are good things. We don't look at someone else's gift and say, oh, we don't need that. Or you don't look at your own gift and say, well, I guess there's no place for what I do because my gifts are not like anyone else's. No, the Spirit gives different gifts for the reasons that God determines. And so every gift that brings honor to Jesus Christ is a gift given by the Holy Spirit. So let me encourage you, first, don't hide your own gifts. And then second, don't reject or criticize the gift that you may see at work in someone else's life. If it's given by the Spirit, if it's bringing honor to Jesus, then we should be grateful for how God is working in that way. So all gifts that honor Jesus come from the Spirit. And in the same way, and this is another critical truth that we maybe don't say enough in the church, all believers receive spiritual gifts. Every follower of Jesus Christ has the Spirit working in your heart, working to enable you to serve the mission of the church. And so Paul writes in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, that means all believers, not just special Christians, not just missionaries and pastors and people who stand up front. but to each one. In fact, if you read all the way through chapter 12, seven times Paul uses this phrase, all or each one, referring to the gifts that are given to the church, to each one, to all of us, to every believer. Over and over again, Paul makes this point because he wants us to understand, the Spirit wants us to understand that if you are a believer, if you are born again in Jesus and the Spirit lives in your heart, and the Spirit lives in your heart in order to enable you to serve the mission of the church. And so every gift, your gift and my gift and the gifts of all believers, are given, as Paul writes, for the common good, to advance the mission of sharing the love and message of Jesus Christ. And so you may ask, okay, well, what kinds of gifts are there? And again, we've got a list here in 1 Corinthians 12. As you get to the end of the chapter, Paul lists a few more gifts in verses 28 through 30. You can turn over to Romans chapter 12. There's another list. Ephesians chapter 4, another list of gifts, and they, again, are not meant to be exhaustive, but to give examples. And your gift might not be exactly like the ones that Paul lists. For example, and I think maybe the clearest example of a list, and you can look through the New Testament, all these lists, you will not see anywhere that Paul says that musical talent, leading worship, that is never listed in the Bible as a spiritual gift. And yet I think we can all testify week after week how we see people here in the church, people that you know well, who stand up in front and use their gift of music to minister to us. I don't want to embarrass Maggie, but since her whole family's with us today, Maggie grew up in a musical family, and we saw that today. They're all up here singing and beating on things and strumming things, and they all grew up doing that, and that's great, and she's studying music in college along with other things. But it's also clear that the Holy Spirit is working in her life. There are lots of musicians in the world. But for those who give their gifts over to God and allow the Spirit to work through them, that gift can become, in biblical language, a spiritual gift that God can use to bring honor to Jesus Christ and to advance the mission of the church. So you might ask then, well, how do I know what gifts I have? How do you know what gifts God has given to you? And I'm looking at a room full of people here, and all of you have spiritual gifts. If you follow Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Spirit is at work in your life. So what are your gifts? Well, let me give you three ways, three little steps to discovering your gift. And some of you might think, oh, I know what my gift is. I've had a gift since I was, 15 years old. I've known just what it is, and that's how I serve the church. Well, let me also say this before I give you these three steps. Your spiritual gifts that you had as a young person, God may give you new gifts as an adult. Or maybe you serve in the church for 30 years in one way, and suddenly you realize God's calling me in a new direction now. So the gifts that the Spirit may bring to work in your life can change over time. All right, so here are the three steps. Number one, pray that the Spirit will reveal your gifts. Prayer is always the first place to start. God has given you these gifts to serve His will and His purposes, and so, of course, He wants you to know what those gifts are. So if you pray, God will answer that prayer, and He will show you what those gifts are. Number two, as you're praying, ask others in the church what gifts they recognize in your life. And sometimes we don't see how God is working in our own lives. It takes someone else to say, I really appreciate how you pray. And when you pray, I can really sense the Spirit working in your life. Or maybe it's when you visited with me the other day, I really felt God's presence with you. Maybe the gift that you have in your life is being an encourager or being someone who speaks truth in a difficult situation. And it might be another believer who speaks that into your life and helps you to recognize what you've not seen in yourself. And then step number three is to try your gifts out. As you begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to you, as you pray, as other believers begin to show you, this is where I see the Spirit working in your life, then the only way to know for sure is to try it out and see if God uses you, uses that gift in you to produce good fruit. And if so, if you find a place to serve in the church and, oh, this is the gift that God has given me, and wow, lives are being changed, people are being touched, good things are coming from that, then grab hold of it even more. On the other hand, and I've seen this often in the church, somebody will come to the church and say, you know, I really think I should be leading a Bible study. And okay, well, let's give it a try. And no fruit comes from it. And that can be a hard thing to admit sometimes. Gee, you've been hitting your head against the wall for a few weeks now and nobody seems to be responding to how you're serving. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It just means maybe you have a different gift that you can serve in another place. So if you feel like you're serving in the church and God is not using you to produce good fruit, maybe that's an indication that you haven't yet discovered what your gift is. And sometimes that's the hard truth we need to face. And so you go back to step one and you start praying again. And you start asking other believers again, what gifts do you see at work in my life? And then try out another way. So all gifts come from the Spirit. We all receive gifts. And then there's another important truth that we need to draw out of this passage. And that is that all spiritual gifts are given for God's purposes. Not for our own purposes, not to make us look good, not even necessarily to build the church, not to make our church look better than other churches. That's not necessarily God's intention. But the gifts are given for God's purposes. Again, Paul says that the Spirit has given these gifts for the common good. And the common good here is meant to, we're meant to understand it as the mission of the church, to enable all of us to join together, all of us using our gifts to serve that mission that Jesus has given us. So in verse 11, Paul writes this, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." Which tells me that the gifts that you have in your life are the gifts that God wants you to have. The gifts that I have in my life are the gifts that God wants me to have. And so I don't envy you your gifts, and you don't envy me my gifts, and I don't get in the way of you using your gifts, and you don't get in the way of me using my gifts, that we enable one another, encourage one another to do what God has called each one of us to do. And as we're doing that, as each one is joined together, faithfully using the gifts that God has given us, then we see the mission of the church being fulfilled. Now, there's an amazing truth about the Christian life that I try to share this as often as I can when it comes up, but it's a good reminder at this moment that we have been called, the Church of Jesus Christ has been called, to take Jesus' place in the world, to carry on what He started. In other words, we don't make up the ministry of the church. We don't make up our own mission. What we see that Jesus did as we read through the Gospels, as we read through God's Word, what we see that Jesus started to do during His time on earth, that is what we continue to do as a church. And on the one hand, you hear that and you say, well, I can't possibly do the things that Jesus did. And that's true. Without the Spirit's work in your life, you have no chance, neither do I, of doing all the amazing things that Jesus did. In fact, any one individual, even with the Spirit working in our lives, none of us individually can be as great and powerful and miraculous as Jesus was. And yet, all of us working together, the whole Church of Jesus Christ with the power of the Holy Spirit working in each one of us, then we can, in fact, carry on the ministry. In fact, Jesus said, "You will do greater things than I." And the "you" there is plural. You, the whole church together. It's now not just one person, Jesus, the greatest person who ever lived, of course, but He was only able to be in one place at one time during those 30 years on earth. But now He sends His people, His church all throughout the world, each one of us with the Spirit at work in our lives, and so we can collectively, all of us together, serve the mission in our own unique ways, but working together for this common good. And so listen to what Jesus said just before he left the earth. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it's a passage that gives us not only our mission, but tells us what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem," where the church started, "and in all Judea and Samaria," the surrounding region, "and to the ends of the earth." And that is the mission of the church, that we are witnesses for Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. And that is also the work of the Holy Spirit, to give us the power that we need to fulfill that mission. And none of us can do it on our own. We can't fill Jesus' shoes on our own, but all of us working together, teachers and leaders and encouragers and helpers and people who prophesy and those who work miracles and who lead worship and care for children and manage resources and all those many different things that the church needs. All of those gifts working together, we can fulfill and carry on that ministry, that mission that Jesus gave us. And so the challenge for each one of us today is to discover your gifts. Some of you have been serving actively in the church for many, many years. Some of you right in exactly where God wants you to be. And if that's where you feel like you are today, then keep at it. But you might ask along the way, does God want something new from me? Is there a new gift he's giving me? Others of you might still be looking for a way to get involved, and you might still be asking, I don't know where my gifts are. God, show me where you want me to serve and what those gifts that you've given me will enable me to do. And so again, pray that the Spirit would show that to you. Talk to other people in the church, and then as you begin to sense this is a gift that the Spirit's given me, try it out, get involved, and see if good fruit is produced. The final word is to make room for others to serve. God may lead you away from a particular ministry in the church. And maybe you feel even a little bit guilty about that. Oh, I've been doing this for years, but I think God's asking me to do something new now. Well, maybe by you stepping aside, it makes room for someone else to step in and to discover their gifts and to use their gifts to carry on that ministry. Or the Spirit may show us a need that our church has or our community has that maybe no one has seen before. And suddenly the gifts that begin to be evident in your life now have a ministry to serve. So encourage one another in these ways. Help each other discover and put your gifts to good use. And then as we see the Spirit working in the lives of each one of us, we rejoice. We rejoice together as the Spirit does mighty things in our church, just as He has done in the Church of Jesus Christ now for 2,000 years. So let's give thanks today for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Let's give thanks that we can each be a part of the mission of the church. Let's bow our heads. Father, we do give you thanks today for the gifts that you've given us, for the presence of your Spirit working in our hearts. And I pray that you would make it clear to each one of us, Lord. Those who are already serving, maybe you've got something new for us, or those who are still looking for a place to get involved, that you would make it clear what those gifts are that you've given us. And Lord, help us all to make room for one another, to encourage one another, so that your ministry can grow and flourish, and together we can produce that fruit of changed lives, of people coming to faith, of people growing in faith. And Lord, we pray that as you work in each of our lives, that Jesus Christ would be honored. So we ask this in His name. Amen.